So we are doing a new series that I'm really excited about. And I'm not going to lie, in the past couple weeks, I changed my mind about 5 times on what series we were going to do in December, because we only have 3 weeks of services left for the year. Did that just blow anyone else's mind? Just 3 weeks of regular services for the rest of the whole year. And I wanted to do it right because it's Christmas. You got to do it right in Christmas. So I went over a whole bunch of different things. I had a whole bunch of different plans. And this was kind of a last minute switch. And I could not be happier with it, because there's just something wonderful about Christmas music. Like, it sets the scene. It kind of sets the atmosphere. I know, like, there's just, I've gotten this habit this week. I work from home, and I've been working from my couch a lot this week because I've got my tree and fireplace that doesn't work, but it's pretty. And I've got, you know, Alexa singing some Christmas music to me, some little jazzy Christmas music. And I've got, like, this whole scene, and it's just, it makes everything feel just a little bit cozier and just happier. I don't know. So we're talking about Christmas carols. So did you guys know that Christmas carols and Christmas songs are not the same thing? Yeah? No? Yeah. So Christmas carols are a little bit different than just regular Christmas music. Like, if you turn on the radio and you're listening to Christmas music, it could be anything from Rudolph to I Saw Mama Kissing Santa. But those aren't Christmas carols. Those are just songs about the Christmas season. Carols are religious folk songs or hymns that are typically associated with Christmas. There can also be like Easter carols and things like that, but it's a song that is focused on Jesus, on the birth of Jesus. It celebrates, remembers, and shares the significance of the birth of Jesus. And songs play a really important role in expressing the good news of Jesus. Like, I love worship service. I could skip this part, but I couldn't skip the worship part. Like, and it was, they were on fire this morning. Like, that was good. That was good. But see, the Bible tells us the importance of worship, the importance of singing our praises. In Colossians 3:16, it says, "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts." So we're mandated to do it. We have to do it. So if you don't like the worship part, then too bad. Like, it's important. So there's proof. See, because when we sing, we engage both our minds and our emotions in the worship of God. It's our mind and our hearts working together to worship and praise God. So many Christmas carols, they have a rich theological message, but many of them we've grown up hearing our entire lives. And you hear them over and over, and then it's just, the lyrics just kind of go, and you just sing it, and you don't stop and think about the deeper meaning of what the song is actually saying, like what it's actually talking about. So each week, over the next 3 weeks, we're going to be looking at a different Christmas carol to see how this message points toward the joy, the peace, and the hope that we find in Jesus. So we're going to start this week with Joy to the World. So, have you guys heard that one? If anyone says no, then we're going to rewind. We're going to reset, and we're going to do it again. But I have a confession. Joy to the World is not my favorite. Like, I've never really cared for it that much. It's one that I always, like, skip over, because it's always kind of seemed like the fluff song that's added to the end of the service to bring the energy and the excitement. Because, you know, Christmas carols can usually, like, a lot of them are really slow and drawn out and have a bunch of, like, funky little minor notes in it. And I like that. But, you know, sometimes with upbeat songs, even upbeat worship songs, they can feel a little bit more like fluff. Like, it's just trying to bring some emotion. But when I took a closer look at the lyrics of Joy to the World this week, I started learning a little bit more about its history, and I began to see it differently. So a little history lesson for you. Joy to the World was written in 1719 by Isaac Watts. This song is over 300 years old. And it's one of the most popular Christmas songs of all time. See, its popularity has caused it to be revised a number of times to fit the theology of the people that are singing it. So, for example, in 1838, it was revised by a group of religious skeptics that liked the rhythm, they liked the beat, they liked, you know, the fluff of the song. And, you know, everyone knows the first verse, right? Joy to the world, the Lord is come, let earth receive her king, let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. So they changed the words to, joy to the world, the light has come. The light meaning knowledge. The only lawful king. Let every heart prepare it room, and mortal nature sing. They cut God out of it. See, this song actually makes it very, very clear who Jesus is. And that can be very awkward to sing if you're an unbeliever. To sing about the King coming, the King coming. See, people who do not believe in Jesus often don't mind singing about a baby being born in a manger. They can sing along with Away in a Manger and a few songs like that, Silent Night, even Oh Holy Night. But it's more awkward to sing about him being the Lord of heaven and earth. It kind of changes things a little bit. See, the song makes it very clear that Jesus did not just come to be an inspiring infant or a gentle teacher or leader. He came as the Lord, the King of Kings, fully deserving all of our praise. So verse 1 and 2, we're going to read it because sometimes if you take the music out, you start hearing the words a little bit clearer. All right. It says, joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy. I did not know that those two verses are a paraphrase of the 98th Psalm. Did anyone know that? Good, because I was like, have I missed this all these years? So we're going to sing that and look for the parallels. Sing to the Lord, all caps Lord. You guys remember what all caps Lord means? Jehovah, the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and faithfulness to Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of a ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord the King. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. That's pretty powerful. Like, that very quickly, like, went way up on my list of, like, favorite passages. I've never really just, like, read that and thought about, like, it's talking about, like, let the sea resound and everything in it. Let the world and all who live in it, let the rivers, the waters, every element of creation, every atom, let it rejoice, for the King has come. So let's look at the word joy. So joy is defined as a state of delight and well-being that results from knowing and serving God. The birth of Jesus inspired true joy in the world. We're going to look at a couple of examples. So first of all, the Magi, or we usually know them as the wise men. I did a little digging to figure out, like, because you guys know I'm kind of a history nerd, and I like cultures and stuff. I know it's shocking, right? And I was like, I want to know a little bit more about these guys. Like, I've heard them, the wise men, the we three kings and all that. But who were these people? Like, who were the Magi during this time? They were Persian priests, which means not Jewish. Not people that were looking for the Messiah. See, they were seekers of light. So these would have been like the philosophers at the time. These were the wise men. These were the thinkers. These were the ones that may have written that second translation of the verse about the light has come. That's the light that they were looking for. They were looking for knowledge. They were looking for understanding. That's just crazy to me that these people were not looking for the Messiah. But then they saw a star, and things kind of shifted a little bit. So, you know, in the song, We Three Kings, it says, guide us to thy perfect light. See, in that song, it's written as if they're speaking to the star of wonders, star of might. But they're not talking about the light of the star. They're mentioning here, guide us to thy perfect light. What is that light? Jesus. See, they were looking for the light, enlightenment, and they found the light. See, the kings, they're meant to represent wealth and wisdom. In Matthew 2:10, it says, when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. These non-Jewish priests of another religion, seekers of knowledge, who have private audiences with the king, bowed down and worshiped this little boy. And then they opened their treasures and they presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The light of the world. And then there's another group of people, the shepherds. And the shepherds, they represent the least of these. They represent humility, poverty. They're the workers out in the middle of the night sleeping with sheep, protecting them from wolves. In Luke 2:10, it says, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger. So we don't know for sure. It doesn't specifically say that this group of shepherds were Jewish, that they were looking for the Messiah. But because of the way that they're being talked to about this is the Messiah, referred to as the Messiah, it's talked about the town of David, then that gives us some indication that they were a group of Jewish shepherds. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom favor rests. His favor rests. There's another song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. You guys like that one? I kind of wanted to do that one for one of these, but if we would have had 4 weeks, we would have done this one. But there's that line in there, and it says that this is what the angels are saying. This is their hearkening. This is their message. And, you know, we just sang Echo Holy, and this is what I picture. Like when we're singing Echo Holy, a million angels fall face down on the floor. Like a host. That's what a host is. And they're all singing, glory to the newborn king, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful, all ye nations rise. Join the triumph of the sky. See, the skies already know. The angels in the skies already know. Join our triumph. With the angelic host, proclaim Christ is born in Bethlehem. The Messiah is here. See, we're in on the secret, and we're sharing it with you. Join us in worshiping, joyful proclamation. See, joy is the fruit of a right relationship with God. It's righteousness. See, joy is not something that we can create for ourselves. Joy is an inward peace. It's wholeness. It's shalom that we find in a relationship with God. Now, sometimes we mix things up a little bit, and we think in our human minds that joy and pleasure are the same thing. But see, pleasure is an outward, temporary happiness. It's not the same. It's fleeting. See, we can create pleasure on our own. We can find pleasure on our own, but it's temporary. It's fleeting. It does not give us peace or wholeness. It does not give us that shalom that our hearts are longing for. See, the Bible even warns against self-indulgent pleasure because it will never lead to joy. See, the joy of God came into focus in human history in the person of Jesus. He was the bridge between humanity and God, allowing for an accessible relationship, allowing for that inward peace, allowing for joy. See, I had someone ask me the other day, well, how do we know that December 25th is when Jesus was born? We don't. So why do we? It's just a day. It's just a day. But it's a day that we can use to celebrate when joy was born. So the next verse of Joy to the World says, no more let sin and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found. And this is a reference to Genesis 3, to Adam's curse after the fall. It says, cursed is the ground because of you, though it painful. Through it, painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field by the sweat of your brow. You will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. No more let sin and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. Because he comes to make his blessings flow and heal the curse of the ground. Ooh, I should have written it. That rhymed. See, with this verse, we're anticipating the day when the blessings of salvation in Christ will overcome sin's consequences as far as the curse is found. But see, that day has not yet come. But we sing this in hope. We sing this in anticipation because we can still find joy in the hope that we have in Jesus. And then the last verse, it says, he rules the world with truth and grace and makes his nations prove the glories of his righteousness and the wonders of his love. See, we get tied up sometimes talking about how Jesus came to save Israel. And he did. But it goes far beyond that. Because he makes the nations prove. The entire world was saved when a baby was born in a stable. It's really easy to get caught up in all the things that we have to do, all the things that we feel like we're expected to do, all of the Christmas parties, all the shopping. Has anyone finished their Christmas shopping? Of course you have, Kathy. Has anyone not started? There's my people. Okay. It's easy to get caught up in all of the things, in the candy, in the cooking, in the time, the family events. But the moment that the skies opened and the angels declared that joy has come to the world, we cannot forget about that part. See, because that little baby in the manger, he sparked joy in the world. And that is something worth singing about. So we're going to pray. Father, thank you. That just doesn't seem like enough to say thank you. Because we talk a lot about the blood of Christ. We talk a lot about the sacrifice. But God, sometimes we gloss over, we get too busy to stop and think about the wonder of the moment when joy came to the world. God, if it had not been for the birth, then we wouldn't have gotten the rest. God, thank you for the way that you made joy possible. Thank you for the way that you didn't just send a conqueror. You didn't just send a king. You didn't just send some demigod that can come to earth and can conquer everything and force everything to be better. But God, you sent in humility a baby that grew, that had trouble, that was poor, that knew hunger, that probably had bullies. God, that had things that they dealt with. He knew the pain of a splinter. And God, I just thank you for meeting us in such a relatable and simple way. God, we just thank you that we can have joy in the middle of this broken world. We may feel like we're living in exile. But God, we can find joy in the middle of it all because of the hope that we have. God, the birth of a child set into motion a plan thousands of years in the making. God, from Genesis 3, you had a plan. And you prepared the way. You sent the prophets. You sent the law. God, you sent John the Baptist to prepare the hearts to receive the King. God, you laid everything out from every covenant promise, from every relationship, from every person that trusted you. God, it just paved the way. And though they may have been expecting a grand entrance, or maybe something more powerful, something wealthy, God, you sent a baby to grow in a relatable and accessible way to all of humanity. So God, I just pray that in this season, we would remember that you sent us joy. God, that we would proclaim it with every breath in our lungs. That we would open our hearts to prepare room in it for you. God, that as we go about our busyness, if no matter where we are, no matter what we're doing, these songs make up the constant soundtrack of this time of year. God, if we're in the middle of Walmart and this song comes on, God, remind us of the power of your joy. Give us the boldness to declare, God, of every element in all of creation sings for joy because of who you are, and so will I. Father, we just thank you for this blessed season of remembering the most magnificent, monumental thing that has ever happened in this world, the birth of your Son.